So Stella, you've brought me to this sort of deco building, and I can see on these balconies there's all sorts of rats and snakes and bugs and insects. What on earth? What's this building all about?
This is a London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. That's why it's got these things, because these are the things that cause nasty diseases.
Hygiene and tropical medicine, right? But tropical medicine, we're in Bloomsbury. What on earth is that doing here in the middle of Bloomsbury?
Ah, well, it hasn't always been here. It goes back a lot longer than the 1920s when this building was built. It originally started in London docks. And in fact, as a hospital, as a place to treat people who'd come back from the far reaches of the British Empire, the tropics, which at that time were known as a white man's grave.
Who started the school? Do you know who it was?
If you look up at the building, you'll see a whole list of names, and one of them just above the door is Manson, and a little bit further along the building, Ross. So we're talking about Sir Patrick Manson, the founder of the school, and Sir Ronald Ross. They were very important, especially in the discovery of how mosquitoes transmitted malaria.
Okay, so you mentioned the names at the top. What about all the other names? Who are they?
All people who were eminent in the field of public health. Interesting, they're all men. And it is said that there was one woman who was put forward to have her name put on the building, Florence Nightingale. The reason she's not there, well, her name was considered too long. But if you look at the other side of the building, you'll see Pettenkofer.
Pettenkofer? So hang on a minute. Pettenkofer, 11 letters. Nightingale, Nightingale, 11 letters. So that doesn't make sense, does it?
It's a sign of the times, as it was then. Women were not considered as important as the men.
You've mentioned Ross and Manson. Tell me some more about these two men.
Well, Patrick Manson was a Scotsman from Aberdeenshire, not far from where I come from, actually. And he qualified in medicine after he had to give up his apprenticeship as an iron worker because he damaged his spine. He was a very brilliant surgeon and worked in Formosa, which is now Taiwan, and various parts of China. And it was while he was there that he started his interest in tropical diseases. There's a wonderful story about Patrick Manson, and some of his methods at the time would not be allowed nowadays. He did some work with his gardener, his Chinese gardener. This poor gardener was made to sleep in a hut with a light on, which attracted mosquitoes, in order to get him deliberately bitten by the mosquitoes. Manson could then collect those and use them in his research, and the gardener got a couple of hours off the next day for his trouble. So Ronald Ross, he too was a reluctant scientist. He'd qualified as a doctor because he was told to by his father. He really wanted to be a poet and a writer.
Funnily enough, I've got here a poem that he wrote for Malaria Day back in 1897. This day relenting God hath placed within my hand a wondrous thing, and God be praised at his command. Seeking his secret deeds with tears and tolling breath, I find thy cunning seeds, O million murdering death. I know this little thing a myriad men will save. O death, where is thy sting? Thy victory, O grave. Let's go in, follow the sting.
Hi, I'm Claire Franklin. I'm the assistant archivist at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
I'm Aisling. I'm the archives assistant at London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
I'm Rebecca Tremaine, and I work at the Malaria Centre at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
Ronald Ross, You have an archive of some of his materials here on site, is that right?
It's a very large collection. It's mainly to do with his research. So he was born in India. He worked for the Indian Medical Service, and then he met Patrick Manson, and he became interested in the mosquito transmission of malaria. So that's obviously what he's most known for. And so we have his original notebook in which he actually was undertaking the experiments of cutting open mosquito stomachs.
And on the 20th of August 1897 is the seminal entry where he's talking about what he then refers to going forward as Mosquito Day. And that's where he has this wonderful synopsis of what happened. And he also has a series of drawings of the malaria parasite. And that's what he actually sees in his microscope when he's looking at the gut of the mosquito. He sees the malaria crescents. And that's how he identifies that mosquitoes transmit malaria.
So you've read the archives and read the journal. Do you get a sense of what kind of man he was?
He was, I'd say, a complex character. He was very controversial in his time, as you can see from his disputes with other scientists about his discovery. Saying that, he supported a lot of campaigns at the time. So he was a big supporter of the women's suffrage. He used to write articles supporting women's suffrage. Although he did write it under a pseudonym, which is understandable at the time. So although you can read his papers and see that perhaps he was, I hasten to say, arrogant, the fact that he actually made his own archive. He had his own original order. He kept every piece of paper, so he had this sense of his own self-importance. He also had a vast interest in other areas, and he did support people.
From the stories of both Manson and Ross, they were both kind of reluctant scientists, because Manson started life as an iron worker and only studied medicine because he damaged his spine when he was quite young. And then Ross really wanted to be a writer, write poetry and literature. So both of them went to have quite sort of successful scientific careers. It's quite amazing that they started from those backgrounds.
I kind of guess that people maybe weren't, you know, they had more broader interests possibly. So, you know, they're kind of polymaths in a way. You know, they were interested in literature, maths, and surgery, you know, surgery research, scientific research, because it was such an exploding sort of period of interest. So somebody who was kind of intellectually curious, I suppose, you know, then they'd be interested in medicine. And this was, you know, a lot of the material that we have in the archives actually came from the Colonial Office, because obviously it's a huge period of colonial expansion. Manson was actually as a medical officer of health for the Colonial Office when he came back to London, because he worked in Formosa, Taiwan, China, Hong Kong. And so I suppose, you know, the desire to find out more about tropical medicine was really at its peak in those days, because people were going out to work there and so many people were dying, that actually it wasn't just a sort of minor elitist kind of subject. It was a subject that so many people were interested in.
Fantastic stories about, you know, what they've done like 100 years ago, but still relevant today, Stella, wouldn't you say?
No doubt. It is definitely relevant today. It took 100 years to work out how malaria was transmitted by mosquitoes. And still today, 500,000 people die every year from malaria. Most of those are children in Africa. So the research still goes on in the Institute to find insecticides, a vaccine, repellents, and anything that will help in the fight against malaria.